Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. How you doing? If you are doing Dry January, of course, you'll be on, nearly week three, won't you? So, two and a half weeks, something like that. So congratulations if you've got this far and you're in, you know, early days. But whatever stage you're at, you know, I think we have this in the Sober Club community so often that people will say, oh, I was doing so well, and then, you know, something happened, or somebody upset me at work, or something about my family, or whatever it might be. And, you know, we're human, aren't we? So I think the most important thing is to be kind to yourself, but make your commitment. Set that commitment. It's just so powerful when you do that. It really is. You know, it knocks everything else out the picture, really, when you make that decision that this is non-negotiable. It'd be the best thing you ever do for your health and well-being. There's my little rant for the week. I thought I'd start with it this week instead of, you know, easing into it gently like I normally do. It's been real busy around my gaff. I've done so many interviews recently. I've met some fabulous people. And because it is January and the sort of vibe tends to be people thinking about the new starts and thinking about the nutrition and the well-being, I have kind of ended up focusing on that a little bit. And to that end, did a great interview with the Happy Pair. Such lovely guys. Oh my goodness, I can't wait to. I really want to go to their place in Ireland. It just sounds so fantastic. So I'll be bringing you that interview very soon. I popped a little clip on social media. They did a really nice little exclusive piece for us in the Sober Club community too, which was really lovely. So very grateful to the Happy Pair. And this week, just delighted that my guest is a leading nutritionist. She works with a lot of A-list celebrity clients. Of course she does. And of course she won't tell us who they are, and they won't tell who they are either. I mean, come on, you know, of course that's, you know, they look great because they get this one-to-one support, but they won't tell us who they are. I mean, come on, not very fair, is it? But anyways, she really knows her stuff. I love her work because it's a common sense approach. So we've got an interview with Dominic Ludwig, leading nutritionist who really digs real deep and in depth on some fantastic aspects of generic nutrition. You know, this is for everybody, but we do also touch on what helps us if we're ditching the booze, of course, because, you know, I know I've said it a million times, but if you are starting off doing this, you know, if you're in the early weeks, you cannot be thinking about faddy diets. It really is the time to be eating really well. You know, you really shouldn't be thinking about, you know, trying to lose weight. This is the time to be supporting your brain chemistry. So we talk a lot about that in the interview with Dominique, and sugar, you know, the big sugar question, which, you know, we all get the sugar head on when we first stop drinking. We address that as well. And she's got some fantastic tips and a great recipe to share with us, a very simple recipe, which I'm going to put in the show notes. So make sure you check that out. And it'll also be on thesoberclub.com. I'll pop that up as a blog post from Dominique. Really excited to bring you this information because, you know, obviously this is my absolute passion. It's what I've been doing for years and years and years, this kind of this piece around holistic well-being. And I love the fact that everything kind of combines, because when people stop drinking, they do start to care about what they're eating and about whether, you know, their skincare has got alcohol in it as well. And I love the fact that I can bring all of this into the podcast. So it's great meeting guests who can give us that really fantastically common sense approach. Just before we get into that, just a reminder that we do have our Family Constellations workshop next. It's the Sunday 22nd of January, Sunday 22nd in Hertfordshire. So if that's of interest, you probably heard the interview with Mark Wolin a couple of weeks ago. I did a little rerun of that. So do check that out. If you're interested in coming to that workshop, very limited space. And the day before, we have a workshop for biz owners, well, heart-centered biz owners. So if you're an expert or a coach or a I don't know, therapist, practitioner, whatever, then check that out as well. You find all that information at the Sober Club. There's also a Champneys self-care and sobriety coming up in February, and a Sober by the Sea. So we've got lots coming up in the future if you're in the UK. I know everything I'm doing at the moment is kind of south-based, and I'm really aware that we've got lots of Sober Club members, lots of people listening who are not in the southeast. I get that completely. I'm really trying to plan something, you know, more nationwide, some other stuff. And if you've got any ideas of great venues or any suggestions of hosting something maybe with me, then drop me a message, because, you know, I'm very open to suggestions. But before we do any of that, we've teamed up this week with Non-Toxicated, such a great name, isn't it? The alcohol-free drinks community. And their mission is to connect curious consumers with brilliant brands in the alcohol-free and grown-up soft drinks space. So you can imagine how much I love this. You know my mantra, keep the ritual, change the ingredients. We need alternatives to alcohol. We need something other than just a cup of tea, don't we? And this all started for Non-Toxicated with two friends who were looking for alternatives over lockdown, and now it's grown to a worldwide community of over 1,300 alcohol-free drinks and enthusiasts. Or is it 13,000? I'm reading that wrong. 13,000. Wow, amazing. So they have an app. So the Non-Toxicated app will help you explore the world of low and no alcohol drinks, and the soft drinks and the mixers, the CBD drinks, kombuchas, all of that stuff. So the app has got over 1,000 alcohol-free and low alcohol products listed. So it's absolutely the best place to search for all your alcohol-free needs, because it's the most comprehensive alcohol-free drinks directory in the UK. And they've got their Non-Toxicated recommend section. So they try and test products and recommend them. So how amazing? How amazing is that? It's a completely inclusive community. They've got a Facebook group as well. Obviously, they've got their social media where you can follow them as well. So check it out. Download the Non-Toxicated app. You can obviously browse the articles there, you can look at the recommendations, and you can buy over 1,000 alcohol-free drinks. How incredible is that? And if you want to get involved with the community, then head over to their Facebook group. There's also news and discounts and offers and all of that stuff. So it sounds like they're really across it, right? So really grateful to Non-Toxicated for being part of our podcast this week. We'll put all of the details in the show notes, all of the links, and their website is nontoxicated.co.uk. Fantastic name for a great app that does exactly what it says on the tin, just shows you how you can choose all these fantastic drinks, you know, and still drive home. So, as promised, let's talk nutrition. Really, really thrilled that my guest is Dominique Ludwig, who is an accomplished nutritionist with over 30 years experience, qualified nutritionist and nutritional therapist. And Dominique is the secret weapon, as they say, of some very high profile clients and A-list celebrities. Oh, we're definitely going to try and get that out of her, aren't we, guys? Not very likely, I know, because, you know, let's face it, Dominique, celebs don't tell, do they? They don't tell. Okay, let me carry on with your a little bit more about you. So she's the founder of the nutrition and lifestyle program Renew, Reset, Recharge, a pioneering nutrition, weight management and lifestyle program all rolled into one. And Dominique is just absolutely passionate about helping us transform our health and change the way that we eat forever. Absolutely love the sound of all of that. We will talk about your program, Dominique, your Renew, Reset, Recharge program. And I know you've got a very special offer as well for our audience. So that's much appreciated. But let's just get into a bit of background. I mean, tell us a little bit about you and your story and how you got to be doing what you do.
Okay, so I think I all fell into this, not quite in the classical way, in that I got sick and went to see a nutritionist and she changed my life and I went to study. It's been more of a slow burn. It's been something that's, I think as a child, I just loved eating food, I think, and I like cooking because I like to eat. So I was cooking a lot, and then at school I really liked doing the nutrition side and biology, and it led me to go to university, and I thought I was going to be a recipe developer in the food industry. And soon realized that that wasn't what I was interested in, and what I really liked was the nutrition. So I ended up at King's College in London doing a master's in nutrition, and then went into the food industry after that. But that gave me the nuts and bolts. That gave me a really sound scientific platform. Went into the food industry, and then also decided, well, I'm not sure that's for me either. And then as soon as my children were tiny, 1 and 3, I was back studying in nutritional therapy. And that blew my mind. That literally blew my mind when I just suddenly realized that we can help people with the food and the food they're eating, the lifestyle they're living, with a lot of really complicated, what we call lifestyle illnesses. So rather than, illnesses where we used to, or things we used to end up in hospital with, like we've broken our leg or we caught a bacteria or a bug, lots of the diseases we've got now are what we call lifestyle illnesses, whether it's type 2 diabetes, obesity, cancer, heart disease. So actually working with some of those conditions and getting phenomenal results blew my mind. So I've been doing that ever since, and continually learning. I'm still training with the Institute of Functional Medicine as well. And now I work out of two clinics. So I've got a clinic I work with called Mayo Clinic in Chichester, where I work. And I've also got my own private clinic. And like you said, I'm the founder of Renew, Reset, Recharge, which is a completely new way of eating.
Yeah, I mean, what I really love about your work is that you really do take this kind of holistic approach. And, I mean, even just the word nutrition, a bit like the word diet, oh my God, it's got so many complex layers. And, I remember back to a friend of mine whose husband had prostate cancer. And this was a few years ago, but basically they went to see a kind of a dietitian or whoever they were sent to see in the hospital. And he was basically advised to eat the biggest load of crap you can ever imagine. Now, she actually knew a little bit about nutrition, so she challenged it a little bit, but she really got nowhere. And of course, it's not that the person offering that advice meant any harm. Of course they didn't. They didn't know. And as we all know, most GPs in their whatever it is 7-year training, they get about half a day in nutrition, don't they? I don't know if that's still the same. I mean, what the
I
hell?
think it is. I think it is.
I mean, that's scary, isn't it? So where does it, I'm guessing you're on the same page. So where does it go wrong then? You mentioned these lifestyle illnesses. Where does it all go wrong? How do we get it so wrong?
I think just going back to what you've just said as well, it's a holistic, it's the complete body. You can't just take one part of the body and say, oh, you've got acne, or you've got a skin condition, let's just treat the skin. You've got to try and go back to the root cause. And I think that modern medicine isn't always equipped to start fitting it all together. And one thing I say in clinic is, people just chuck a jigsaw puzzle on my desk, and then that's the problem. And it's my job to start piecing it all together. And suddenly you get this pattern and you start to see where things are going wrong. So what is going wrong? Well, I think our nutrition has changed so much in the last 50 years, and that's the first thing. And I think the majority of my clients are people who are generally confused, slightly fed up with all the conflicting information. But they've also people that are tired all the time. They've got often digestive issues. They've got weight that they just can't shift. They're feeling just under par all the time. They may have hormone imbalances. So there's all these little things. Anxiety is another really big one, mental health. And a lot of it links back to what we're doing and what we're eating. So the things that I see all the time are, just a slight imbalance in our diet. We've got this culture of snacking, which we're going to come to later, I think, talking about how that affects us, how that can make us completely unbalances all our blood sugars and mood and energy, can make us anxious, hungry. So we've fallen into this normality of snacking, and the things we're snacking on are not necessarily the best foods. A lot of people aren't eating enough protein, and protein is needed to it's needed for our to keep us full up, first of all, but it's very balancing in the body. We also need it for repair and our enzymes, hormones, again, neurotransmitters. So it's how we feel.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a really big one for people in, you know, listening to this who, you know, when you first stop drinking, of course, the brain chemistry is all over the place. And you know, and what I always say to people is don't even think about trying to lose weight when you're stopping drinking. You know, just don't even go there, because everything is already going to need to recalibrate, and you're going to need to put really good nutrients in for those building blocks. You absolutely can't be starving yourself or eating, you know, sort of, as you say, not enough protein. It's so critical, isn't it? And the good fats.
Well, you can't
and all
make
the rest
it. You can think this is protein. You can't make it. You've got to eat it. So the only way you can make it is by eating your own, you know, eating literally your own muscle to turn it back into an amino acid. So you have to eat it to get it. And, yeah, so it's really important to think of food differently, to think of it rather than thinking of it as fuel and I'm hungry, I'm just quickly going to eat a piece of toast or whatever it is. You have to think of food as this kind of transport system. It's like a train that delivers all your nutrients, micronutrients, trace elements, vitamins, minerals, all, and they're what drive the body. They're what drive the brain biochemistry, the thyroid gland, your detoxification, all those things in the body are driven by nutrients, which play a key role. But I think, that's where we're going wrong. We're just not eating a diet that's appropriate for human beings.
Yeah, it is incredible, actually, because if you think back however many years, you know, as you say, it's all changed, isn't it? And, you know, people often talk about how in wartime, people were actually healthier in some ways because they ate a lot less and they ate local seasonal food, didn't they? And they, you know, they ate sort of what was in their environment. You know, they didn't have strawberries in winter because they didn't grow any. And there is something to be said for that kind of eating whole food approach.
I think it's going back to basics. It's just eating simply. The simpler you eat, the better you feel. Mm. And I think that's a really key point. And
we've really lost our way though there, haven't we? I mean, let's just talk about this, the going back to this kind of the imbalance. Let's just talk about this blood sugar thing, because you're absolutely right. Over the last however long, it's become a snacking culture. And, you know, I mean, even when I was a kid, I don't remember snacking like that. You know, you kind of, you'd go out and, you know, if you were lucky, you'd get an apple. If you were hungry before dinner, you'd get an apple. But now everybody has sort of something on the go seemingly all the time. And that it's not even real food usually, is it?
No, that's the thing. So let's talk. This is huge. This is, you know, this is, if I could get one point across to lots of people, it would probably be this one. So the way we're designed to eat is eating with gaps between meals and having a bit of a break overnight. Those breaks are when everything stabilizes the body. We repair, we regenerate, and that's sort of the moderate intermittent fasting, which we can touch on later. So eating three meals a day, that's really easy. It's trying not to snack in between that's really hard. Mm. It's getting the food right at mealtime so you don't need to snack. But where we're mostly going wrong is that we are getting our blood sugars in a terrible pickle every day. So we might start the day with what we think is healthy, maybe some bran flakes and a glass of orange juice and a coffee. Yeah. What we're actually doing is, because it's just pure carbohydrate, we raise our insulin. So let's talk insulin. Insulin, I call the three-headed dog. Yeah. Insulin is like the three-headed dog in Harry Potter. We want it there. It's good to have it there. It's protection, but we don't want to keep waking it up. So when you have a high carb meal or a snack, or whether it's a biscuit or a cake or just eating, we raise our insulin just by eating. But breakfast cereals, processed foods, fast food, ready meals, all these things, anything that comes in a, you know, plastic bag in a cardboard box, anything that's got a long ingredients list, all these foods raise our blood sugars. They wake up the insulin. Insulin does three things. Number one, it tells your body, instructs your body to take that sugar out of our bloodstream and store it as fat. Mm. Number two, it tells us, now we've put it as fat, can you not use it? So it's now locked.
Well, because it's trying to, just to clarify, that's because it's trying to protect us because it doesn't know when we'll get food again. right?
Yeah, it's thinking there's a lot of food around now. This is great. So we'll keep that for later. Mm-hmm. So it stores it as fat, stops you using the fat. But then, of course, your blood sugars have dropped and now you're hungry again. So mm-hmm. you're not greedy. You're physically hungry. So you think, oh, that sandwich didn't fill me up. I'll go and have something else. So we end up eating again. So we'd end up eating more. So, for example, you know, it's all about proportion. I would say it's about you can it's not always what you're eating. It's how you're eating it. So you might have a bowl of granola for breakfast and think, well, this is healthy. I'm going to put a dollop of yogurt on it. That's good. Sprinkling of blueberries. Great. But if you've weighted it towards the granola, blood sugars are going to shoot up. Three-headed dog wakes up, stores it all as fat, hungry again by 11 o'clock. Mm. Whereas if you turn that around and you say, I'm going to have a big bowl of full fat, unsweetened yogurt, going to put 100 grams of frozen blueberries on top, and maybe just a sprinkling of granola or seeds. Completely different.
Mm. What you've done just there. Then. So is that because you're saying that if it's actual food, good fats or protein or whatever, mm-hmm. then the transport system, as you say, delivers it to the right bits? Is that, yeah, have I got that right?
Yeah, it's the proteins and the fats. You've got proteins and fats, and they take longer to go through your digestion. They fill you up, but they also, you break them down slower. So you don't wake up the three-headed dog. Right. So you get to use that energy between meals rather than shooting it into your fat stores. So you stay fuller for longer. So yeah, it's about getting back to eating proteins, fats, and the blueberries or vegetables. They act like an obstacle course. Imagine them as an obstacle course. Always have, you know, as much vegetable as you can on your plate, because that will make this sort of mesh and network. And then you can't absorb the food as quickly. So it's a slow release. So again, the three-headed dog stays asleep for longer. So that's kind of how that works. So that's where we get a lot of it wrong. But the insulin can, when we get that out of balance, it's all anxiety. It affects our mood. It affects our estrogen levels. It affects inflammation. So it affects all these things that we don't want in our life.
That makes so much sense, and you're absolutely right. But then there'll be people thinking, but I was told that you know, if it's not good for blood sugar levels to drop, and I've got to eat little and often, so I don't have three meals a day. I have six or eight little meals a day because I don't want to let my blood sugar drop. You must have heard that one.
all the time. And like, that's how I started with nutrition, and I couldn't work out why no one was getting better or feeling good. And now, of course, we know we've understood the science. So you've got to understand the science and then apply it in your practice. So actually, you're better off having your snacks. If you were going to have something like an apple and some yogurt for dessert, don't hold it. You know, don't hold it back till 3 o'clock in the afternoon for something to look forward to. Have it straight after your meal and then have a break again, because that's when all the magic happens. That's when you go into fat burn. It's when you repair, regenerate. And you generally feel a lot better during that time. The more you snack, first of all, every time you snack, you go into fat storage. So if you're trying to lose weight, that's not great. But also you're just not getting all the benefits. So if you've got the balance of your meals right, if you've really focused on protein, lots of vegetables, like half a plate of vegetables, quarter of a plate of protein, you know, a few tablespoons of carbs and healthy fats, whether it's dressings or avocado, and having more at your meals rather than snacking is infinitely better.
Oh god, I love this, because this is common sense and it fits so beautifully with the stuff that we teach for people who are stopping drinking. That I'll have a lot of people who say to me, oh, you'd be really proud of me, you know, because I had some you know, Weetabix or something, you know, for breakfast, and then for lunch I had some vegetable soup and a little bit of salad, you know, and then for dinner I had some pasta, you know, I made some pasta with tomato sauce. Well, that's great, but where's your protein? You haven't actually had any the whole day, you know, so you're absolutely
right. I just had
a
phone call from someone. I just did a call with someone, a client, and she said she's done a popular weight loss program in the past.
Which won't be named.
I'm hungry in the evening and I didn't know what to eat. And she said, and the advice that comes back is have a curly whirly.
Okay.
Because it's we've just got to think real food. Just go back to real food. If it looks like real food, eat it. If it looks like it's come out of a plastic bag in a cardboard box with a load of ingredients you can't read, it's probably not food.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. I think that's been the biggest change, hasn't it? The fact that we call food something that's just ultra processed. And if you don't know what the hell it is, don't eat it, right? If you can't break it down to, you know, did it ever roam or grow? You probably shouldn't be eating it, right? You mentioned the Curly Whirlies, or, you know, other brands are available. For people who are stopping the booze, sugar is, of course, oh my God, the big one. And, you know, often we stop drinking and we're doing all right, but then we get the sugar head on from hell. And how do we manage that? How do we reduce those sugar cravings? You know, what are the healthier versions of, well, I sometimes say, actually, first of all, check if it's just that you want some sweetness in your life, right? Maybe it isn't actually about sugar at all. But what's your top tips there?
Well, so I think, yes, it's natural that we get, when our body's feeling out of balance, we crave sugar. It's like we get teenager syndrome, where we just want, you know, we just want carbs, and we just, that satisfies us. It gives us a quick fix, sure.
Yeah.
But it wakes up the three-headed dog, which makes us feel worse in the long run. I think, again, it's really important. Start the day with proteins and fat. So you don't have to completely change your breakfast, but adapt it. If you do have toast at breakfast, try putting, you know, having cheese and tomato and a chopped up carrot on the side. Have eggs with it. Have peanut butter. If you're having porridge, put some, you know, peanut butter in there, nuts and seeds, berries. Think about eggs. Think about, you know, just change the way you have breakfast so that you definitely have the, you know, don't just put avocado on toast, put the protein on there, put the egg on there too. If you start the day right, you'll create a healthier habit for the rest of the day. If you don't get that 11 o'clock munches that sets everything off, you're likely to eat better for the rest of the day. So what I find is when my clients start to make those small changes, their sweet tooth goes down. Sometimes they crave, like we're talking Curly Whirlies, they'll say, oh my gosh, that's my thing. And after 4 weeks of cutting back on sugar, they'll say, it was disgusting. I had one. It was horrible. So I think we go off sugar and we adapt our taste buds. And the more it's really that imbalance that drives us to want more. And it's genetical. Some people get more of a reward. So when they have sugar, it gives them a bigger high than maybe someone else. With sugar, I think the thing is, don't just jump onto 101 sugar substitutes. Don't be drinking sugar-free squash all day.
I constantly tell people, you know, it's the devil's own work is artificial sweeteners. Absolutely the devil's own work. Don't ever have anything low fat or low sugar. That's my
top
tip.
That's right. High fat, low, but you can have some sweetness. It's not that you can't have sweetness. A tip of mine. I get a really nice date, like the really squidgy ones. You can get the bejeweled ones. Open them up, fill them with peanut butter, close them up, throw them in the freezer.
I love dates from the freezer.
And then dip them
chocolates
in dark, not milk chocolate. Got to go 70% plus. Dip them in the chocolate, and the chocolate will set instantaneously.
Fantastic.
And keep them in the freezer so that you don't, you know, you're not tempted to eat 12 in one go. But things like that you can do. I think we've got a Powerball recipe where you
Definitely. Yeah, I'm going to share that.
We're going to share at the end.
But
I think from the artificial sweeteners, I think stay away from the chemicals.
Absolutely.
The two that seem to be the best are stevia.
And
the other one is xylitol. Like that.
What's your view of, is it called inulin syrup? Do you come across that?
Yeah, true, inulin syrup. So inulin syrup is, it's a prebiotic fiber
that
supports your gut microbiome.
It's good for the gut,
but it looks like golden syrup.
Yeah, exactly. My son ended up having about half a jar of it, which is very interesting.
Oh my God.
For the amount of time he went to the loo afterwards. He learned the hard way. Don't steal mum's honey on account of it isn't honey.
So can we say what it's called or not?
Yeah, of course.
It's called True,
T-R-O-O.
And it's like a syrup, but it will feed your gut microbes and they will make a lot of gas. So you have to go super, super slow with this. If you just go in there with 2 teaspoons, you wouldn't want to go and do a yoga class or anything like that.
Exactly. He found that the hard way. But then in addition, what about, so you've mentioned stevia and xylitol and the inulin syrup. And then there's things like coconut nectar, like coconut sugar. You're not a fan of that. Okay.
It's all the same. Sugar is sugar is sugar in the same way that carbohydrates eventually turn into sugar. It's all sugar, and it's sugar that we need to try and get, if we try and get that out of our diet in the form in the fact we eat too many carbohydrates and too many sugars, and that the, you know, the government food plate doesn't really serve the majority of the population.
Well, now you mentioned the government food plate. Don't they still call it the eat well plate? Whereas it should absolutely be called the eat terribly badly plate.
You follow their advice. But it doesn't, yeah, it doesn't really suit, you know, 66% of the population that are overweight or people that have got inflammation or, you know, are struggling with blood sugar issues. So that's the problem with it. So yeah. I think sugar is sugar is sugar, whether it's brown or white or it comes, or it's honey or it's maple syrup or it's coconut syrup, sugar, it's sugar. Mm. Unless you go for something like xylitol, erythritol or stevia, you're still, I mean, that can give you that bit of sweetness, but try fruit, try making some apple puree, really good for the gut, really good at mending the gut, particularly if, you know, and it's, I mean, if we talk about things like alcohol can be quite stripping on the gut as well, and lots of food to eat. So apple puree has got lots of pectin in it. It's very nourishing for the gut microbes, which then help to regenerate the gut wall. So try sweetening with natural sugars, or you can have some dates, things like that. And just try and reduce it slowly. You don't have to go cold turkey. You don't have to.
And as you say, something like a high percentage chocolate is all right to have the odd square.
And if you're going to have it after your meal.
Yeah.
Don't have it on an empty stomach. Don't have it. I had a client the other day who was eating all his breakfast. You know, it's like the chocolate, you know, the advent calendar. He had three advent calendars. He was trying to lose weight. First thing he did in the morning was three advent calendars. Well, that's not going to work.
Yeah, exactly. So let's just talk about, I mean, we've touched on the fact that, you know, people, that there will be people listening to this who do feel that they have weight to lose. It has been a thing for them perhaps forever and a day. Again, just to state where I am with this, I firmly believe that when you're in the early stages of ditching the booze, you absolutely cannot focus on losing weight. End of for all kinds of reasons, you know, the brain chemistry piece, but also emotionally, the two just do not go together. However, once you ditch the booze, of course, you know, you can look at what might be going on, but, you know, if you do it in a healthy way. I have never ever been a fan of calorie counting, but I know that it works for some people. What's your view on calories?
Okay, my view is also, don't diet, change your lifestyle. Can I just get that bit in?
Definitely.
So the thing is, I don't do diet programs because they make you feel miserable. They're deprivation, they're normally lacking nutrients, and then you end up feeling worse than you did before, and then you go back to eating how you know the way you did before, and you haven't got any of the benefits. It's consistency. It's what you do 365 days of the year. I'd rather you made one change to your diet and did it all year than did 20 changes for 1 week. So that's really important. I think it's changing the whole renew, reset, recharge approach and way of eating is saying, look, this isn't just a flash in the pan. It's not counting points and sins and whatever. This is teaching people how to eat again. It teaches you the rules of eating. It's almost like I get this magic key and I put it around your neck and I go, this is the key to your metabolism. That's kind of how it works. So you want to try and understand how to eat now and forever. And that's exactly what the program does in a really nice way. In fact, you might end up eating more food than you did before. You asked me about calories. So yes, calorie counting. Oh, God, no, hate calorie counting. Hate it. Because normally the foods that have got calories on are often the ultra processed foods, the ready made low fat lasagna, the breakfast cereals, the snack bars, the crisps, whatever it is. So you then think, well, I'll allow myself to have, I don't know, 150, 200 calories. But these foods are often the ultra processed ones that we burn really quickly. So what we're doing is we're trying to control our appetite through calories. So we're counting manically in our head, how many, oh, I've had 1,000 to 1,200, how many am I allowed? But the thing is, the foods that are processed, firstly, we absorb the majority of the calories. So we're absorbing more calories than natural foods, but we're not using them in the right way. So you could take a packet of sweets and it says 180 calories, but you'll wake the three-headed dog.
Yeah, that, I was going to say,
that sugar will be on your hips quicker than I can do that. You know, that's the, because that's what it's telling your body to do. Whereas if you'd have half an avocado, same amount of calories, completely different effect.
Yeah.
So counting calories doesn't really work. It's about eating real food, getting the fiber, getting, please, you know, try and eat, I always say two fistfuls on your plate, and that kind of works you know, because your fist is going to be an appropriate size for you. Two fistfuls of vegetables on your plate. That will act as an obstacle course as well. Slow down the release of the food, keep you fuller for longer. And you might find you eat less food when you're eating well than when you're calorie counting, because you're working on your own appetite. So you've got to get back in tune with your appetite.
Yeah,
start eating fats again, start eating protein stuff, you know, just, and then if you're eating, you know, fish and vegetables and healthy fats, there's not room on your plate for a great pile of pasta. That naturally sorts itself out because you just physically can't eat it if you're prioritizing all the good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love it. That's a really good way of putting it. So it's focusing on the nutrients, isn't it? Focusing on what the really good nutrients that are going to properly nourish us rather than the crap. Just briefly, can we touch on, because a lot of people who are focused on losing weight want to try fasting. Again, I just for the record, my clients will know I just will not allow it. Come around with a big stick in the first 4 weeks, just absolutely not. But after that, what's your view on intermittent fasting?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're saying, yeah, in the first 4 weeks, I agree no one should be dieting. But again, upping the protein will help.
Oh, absolutely,
it will reduce naturally. But yeah, intermittent fasting is, you know, I think it's, if your body is very exhausted and feeling very taxed and tired, or you've got other issues, you know, there are certain people that I wouldn't put on an intermittent fast. If you're pregnant, for example, or, you know, there's lots of reasons. But if you're healthy and you can, you know, if you're healthy, it can work really well, because what happens when we intermittent fast is, A, we switch on our ability to lose weight. So that's really helpful. But we switch on the fat loss. Our gut microbiome really likes some fasting. It does some, you know, fancy little dances when we're not eating food to clear everything out. So that's good for that. It increases our insulin sensitivity so that we're better when we do have some sugars. And it also is when we don't eat food, it's when we do all our repairing. So if we're constantly snacking and drinking, you know, tea and coffee and squash and wine or whatever we're having or not having, but it all has this effect, you know, it's still taking us out of all that fat burn repair. So we're not really leaving ourselves enough time to repair, to get our immune system working properly. So there's loads of benefits of intermittent fasting, but I don't think you need to do, you know, it doesn't need to be 16 hours. I think for women, I don't go over, normally do 14 fasting and 10 hours.
So you'd have your last meal at what time? My maths aren't very good.
Well, you could even do 8 o'clock in the evening and then you have your breakfast at 10.
Right.
We can all get through till
that's an easy win, isn't it?
If you've got the proportions right, you can easily do that. And then just say three meals a day. Keep it simple. Just eat breakfast, lunch and dinner, and you're fasting in between. So you've got that as an added bonus. I don't think you need to do, and particularly not for, you know, the audience that we're talking to at the moment. I wouldn't say go do a whole day fast or a 3 day fast. I think that would be completely wrong. I think it's just bringing it into your daily routine, that breakfast, lunch and dinner, and just see if you can go just with water and herbal tea between meals. And even that alone can actually rebalance you and give you energy.
Yeah, love it. And then, you know, I know that your whole program, you know, which we're going to talk about, is about, I mean, effectively it works for everyone because it's about real food, right? But I know there'll be people who are thinking, oh yeah, but that doesn't work for me because I'm menopausal, and so I just can't, because of the menopause or because of X and Y, I can't shift those extra pounds. So where do the kind of individual situations come in? I mean, let's take menopause, for example. Is it harder? I mean, it certainly feels like it, let's be honest.
I'd say some people, the older we get, the slower the weight loss is. So I do, Renew, Reset, Recharge is a weight loss program at the beginning. I can mitigate that and stop it from happening if by just increasing portions straight away. So there are other ways of doing it. It's just a really, really healthy way of eating. So I can't remember what the question was.
Well, no, it's just if you are sort of menopausal or perimenopausal, do the hormones make it more difficult for you, even if you are eating well?
Yeah, no, well, it can do, but not as much as you'd think. Because when you start eating properly, what's also happening is your estrogen levels are falling back into balance.
Yeah.
So when we're eating too many carbs, we'll store it around the middle. And that's where we produce also extra estrogen. So fat cells in our middle or we, you know, our visceral fat, the bit we don't like, the muffin top, is actually doesn't just sit there like blocks of butter. It's really active. It's four times as metabolically active as other fat in the body. So it's making hormones like estrogen. It's making inflammation in our body. So it's really active. So I think it does work. I mean, I can never say all that people will lose this amount of weight, but you know, I don't have anyone gaining weight on it. And most people, I have people lose a stone and a quarter. I've had people lose half a stone. I've had people who are still, there's a few people that struggle to lose weight, but normally there's something else going on. I would say the people that don't, it's often blood sugar imbalance. It could be hormones that we haven't got that aren't in range, but I find it works pretty well with that. You know, 90% of the population do really, really well on it. And the ones that don't lose weight still feel better. They still go, well, I'm feeling great. I've got more energy. My digestion's better. I don't have acid reflux. I've got energy all day. I'm bouncing around. I'm not hungry. I don't want to snack. They're all still saying all of that. Or my inflammation's gone down and my pain's stopped. My psoriasis has cleared up. I hear all sorts of, you know, incredible.
It's just amazing, isn't it? Foods really can heal us. And when I first came across your work, you know, I saw a couple of recipes. I'm like, oh man, this is fantastic. This is real food, you know, and you really know how to put it together. Just briefly then, before we talk about your program, can you just tell us about the Matchables? I know you're going to give us the recipe and I'm going to pop it in the notes, but just tell us what they are, because that's such a fabulous, easy win.
Yeah, I was making some actually last night about 9 o'clock. It was my relaxation rolling, but I found it really therapeutic. If you're going to have something sweet, sure, we can go and have some biscuits, or we can grab a chocolate bar or a muesli, or we think like a, you know, an oat muesli bar is going to be healthy. They're loaded with sugar, but it's that free sugar. It's the sugar that goes whizzing straight into our bloodstream, three-headed dog. You know, we're back there again. So if you're going to have something nice, why not make something out of real natural ingredients? So I just make power balls out of dates or dried figs. You can get them from, you know, any supermarket. Almonds. I think the matcha balls got matcha tea in them, which is like green, which is a green tea, which is full of antioxidants. I put cacao nibs in there, but you know, you can switch some of those ingredients out to suit what you've got. And if you don't have matcha, just put some cocoa powder in there. But it's all natural ingredients. And then I put a little bit of, sometimes I need a little bit of oil just to bring it together, or I add another sticky date and that'll bring it together. And then I roll them into, the key here is 15 gram balls, Janie. That is the sweet point.
Presumably you use a blender, do you?
You chuck it all in a blender. Whiz it all up till it's all starting to look a bit like breadcrumbs, and if you push it together it's starting to stick together, but you'll see the recipe. And then I just roll them into little balls and eat them, and they don't last long, but after your meal it just hits that sweet spot. It's delivering magnesium and protein and you know, B vitamins and fiber and all the things that are really good for us too.
Yeah, I love it. So tell us a little bit about your program then, and you know, so what's in it? What's in the program? We've got a link to if anyone wants to have a look at it after this, and we'll pop it in notes as well. But what's the essence of what you're kind of sharing with us in the program?
I'm trying to share something because I want to tell everyone, I want to get the message across that you know, it can be really easy to, we have the power in us to transform our health and our body. And it's not overly complicated. So what I did when I did Renew, Reset, Recharge, I was all the time having people in my clinic telling me that they all felt terrible. They were tired. They weren't sleeping. They were, you know, had IBS. They can't lose weight, all those things. And I thought, well, I'm going to just get, I've done almost 20 years in clinic. So I'm going to, in lockdown, I dovetailed all that with the latest nutritional science. So I put it together and I built a program on 6 solid nutrition principles, which I explain, but I don't over, you know, complicate it for people. But it's a program then that's based on principles. You can do it anywhere. You can also just open your fridge and just arrange food on your plate and it fits the principles. Or I've got over 100 recipes that are completely balanced for you. So I've balanced all the proteins and vegetables out in the recipes. So you can just grab one and might even make 4 portions, and then you've got some for the freezer. But it's based on simplicity, and because I'm busy as well, I'm a quick cook, but I'm quite creative. I think I've got quite a creative flair, so I'm quite good at making foods healthier. So I'll take a recipe and I'll go, oh yeah, I could make that better. And then I make it better. But I also make them simple. People really like the recipes because they're easy to do. So what happens is it's a 4-week program. You get the information on a weekly basis. You can either do it on your own. If you say, look, I'm quite good on my own, I can just, I've got the whole program, I can just do it myself. Or I do one called Coach Plus, where I open up a Zoom call just like this on a Wednesday at 12:30, and people can follow the program and then jump on Zoom, and that makes people accountable. I can troubleshoot if someone's got a problem or they're fine, because it's about personalizing it to you and working out what works for you in the long run. And then we turn it into a way of life, and I help people just move forward. And people don't want to generally go back. There's lots of glowing, I think it's only got 5-star reviews on there.
Great. I'm guessing you've seen some wonderful transformations with people.
And transformations that you wouldn't think, because it's continuous, because it's got that consistency in it. So suddenly I get people a year on just telling me, I bump into them and they're telling me what's happened in their life and to their body and their health. And I had someone yesterday said, oh my gosh, I just stopped all my antihistamines. They had terrible rashes all over their body. They didn't tell me, and they just said, oh, I stopped them 6 months ago. Because I didn't need them anymore.
What I love about it, Dominique, is that it is, as you say, it's based on simplicity. You've taken us right back to basics, but added in some lovely, you know, creative flair. And what we effectively get from this is freedom from that goddamn trap, you know, that trap of yo-yo dieting, which is so hideous. God knows, when I look back, how many diets have I been on and off and on and off? Just awful. And just to get freedom from that. And the other thing that I really love about it, which fits so well with the stuff that I talk about all the time, is that there is no deprivation here. It's not, oh my God, I can't have. Every diet that you ever come across is, oh God, you can't eat, well, you can't eat anything for 3 days, or for 3 days you can't have this, or 5 days you can't have, oh God, I can't be dealing with all the stuff I can't have. Let's focus on what I can have. And in this case, you know,
it's a lot.
It's a lot, and it's proper real food. So it's like, why would you not want that? You know, why would you not want that? So I love it.
It takes me 3 times as long to eat my lunch as people sitting next to me in eating a sandwich. And they're like, oh my God, are you still eating? I'm going, yeah, I'm still eating. But it's delicious. Like, even just giving you like 7 salad dressings, and you've got them in your fridge in jam jars, that just transforms a bit of salmon and some salad, and then you've suddenly got a peanut Asian dressing. And
because on that note, I mean, it's not necessarily more expensive to eat this way either, is it? Someone's on a budget. I mean, you've got to be able to buy food, of course, but then junk food isn't cheap. And even your salad dressings and stuff aren't cheap, and they're probably full of crap.
Yeah, I think it's I do a lot of sustainability, I have an angle on it, on sustainability. So if I'm doing cheese, I'll do chickpeas and halloumi, and we'll fry it up with some fajita spices and throw that over a salad, or throw it into a soup. So we're doing half and half. So there's lots of beans and lentils in there. There's things like eggs, there's tofu, there's proteins that, you know, don't cost the earth in there too. So you're not going to have fillet steak every night. But I had somebody the other day actually who said, I'm spending less on my food bill.
Yeah.
You're spending a lot on vegetables. So as you're starting off on the supermarket thinking, oh, this is quite a lot because all the vegetables are going in. But then you suddenly realize there's whole aisles you don't need to go down.
Yeah. Or you can just find a farmer's market or something, can't you? And I'm guessing that you can, Kate, obviously tailor this to someone who's vegetarian or vegan.
Yeah, you can do the vegetarian one's easy. You just, you know, there's lots of if you're vegetarian or vegan, it's really important. And protein is still super important. So if you're plant-based, you've got nuts and seeds, you've got tofu or edamame beans, soya beans, or you've got your beans and lentils. So you've got to incorporate as many of them into your meals as you can. You can't just jump onto vegan cheese, because vegan cheese is just almost 100% fat. Well, it's just most 100% fat. There's no protein in it. So it's not necessarily going to fill you up or give you the nutrients that you get from normal cheese. So doing like for like doesn't always work, but it's trying to incorporate a little bit of all of them. So throw some pumpkin seeds in there in with what you're doing, throw some edamame beans into your salad. I've just made I've just made a vegetarian chili today with lots of lentils and red kidney beans, but I'm I'm making sure, have I got enough beans in it for the protein? Or you could throw sunflower seeds in there as well. They'll cook in with it too. But it's you really need to work on those protein sources if you're plant-based. Vegetarian, you've got then the eggs and the cheese as well, which is helpful. But also if you are plant-based, ask yourself as well, you know, well, is it something we're doing for our health right now? Is it right for you right now? Because it's not right for everyone, because some people, you know, just aren't strong enough to just adopt that plant-based diet, or whether you can do it in a sustainable way, whether there's this new phrase called climatarian, where you're trying to eat for the climate. So things like sustainable oily fish, things like sardines, mackerel, anchovies, herring, wild salmon, are all quite sustainable fish, but they're cheap if you buy them in tins, you know, tinned sardines, tinned mackerel, high in protein, really, you know,
they're good fats.
So it's whether someone would say, okay, I'll eat an egg with, if it comes from a chicken that's been running around the local farm or something. So it's about making those decisions about what's right for you at a particular time. And you may need to add a protein shake, and like a plant-based protein shake, if you're really plant-based, if you're struggling to get your protein up. I have a lot of people on plant-based diets, and they introduce a really nice protein powder, and they suddenly say, oh my gosh, it's a game changer.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we could talk forever. We definitely have to have you back, Dominique, because I know there's going to be more things we want to ask you. But we'll put the info in the show notes, and the code is Janie75. That's Janie, capital letters, 75, to get 75 quid off. That's very generous. Thank you. 75 quid off the Renew, Reset, Recharge program. And it's dominicludwig.com, but we'll give the actual link to the program as well.
Thank you, Dominique. I'm going to make sure that recipe goes into the show notes, and also if you go to thesoberclub.com, you'll find it there in the blog section. There's also a competition to win a one-to-one consultation with Dominique. That's a very cool prize, so we'll give you a link to that as well. You know, you've got to be in it to win it, right? One thing that we didn't touch on in great detail, but you know that I talk about a lot, is the importance of having the right magnesium, particularly in the early weeks of ditching the booze. It's so important for sleep and low mood and for leg cramps and all the weird stuff you can get going on in the early weeks. I really recommend it. And there's one particular blend that has made such a massive difference to me with all kinds of ailments and to lots of people in the community. So if you look at the show notes, or if you go to the Sober Club and click on supplements for recovery, then it gives you the link to that blend of magnesium that I highly recommend. So once again, thank you to Non-Toxicated for being part of the podcast this week. There'll be a competition as well for Non-Toxicated, and you'll find all the info on the show notes. And just a reminder again, we have these various events coming up: Family Constellations, the Heart Centered Biz Day, that's 21st and 22nd of January. We've got the Self-Care and Sobriety at Champneys, that's 11th and 12th of Feb in Hertfordshire, and Sober by the Sea, which I think is February the 18th. So there's a bunch of things coming up. Always happy to discuss other venues, other events. And just a quick mention, if you are interested in sober coach training, I know that's not everybody, but just throwing it in, just in case someone's there with their ears perking up. Oh, wow, I'm ready to inspire other people, which is what so often happens. Then we do have spaces available on our next sober coach training, which is in March. And this is the last call for 2022 prices. So the price is going up. And so if you want to lock it in at 22 prices, you need to get in touch with me. You know, within the next few days, we can have a chat, see if it's right for you. So once again, if you're doing Dry January, or if you're, you know, you've been around the block, you're upping again, maybe you're one of these people that's off and on. I get it. I absolutely get it. Stay with it. It will click. Be kind to yourself. Be super, super kind to yourself, and just do the work. Put the prep in. This is the best thing you will ever do for your health and well-being. I can't stress that enough. And tell someone, don't do it on your own, because if you do it on your own, the wine witch flies in and starts having a little chat with you. Don't wait for that. Don't do this on your own. Tell someone. You can tell me if you like. You absolutely can. And of course you can join us in the Sober Club. You'll get so much support there, so much inspiration. Just check it out. It's low cost. It's super high value. And of course is included. Get the buzz without the booze. So check it out, thesoberclub.com. And I'll see you same time next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.